again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Madison and the surrounding area in North Florida. We're so glad that you have tuned in today. And if you're listening by way of computer on the World Wide Web, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, we are so glad that you've joined us. And if you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, thank you for coming. We pray that this broadcast today will be a great blessing to you, help you walk in something called the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are excited about getting into the Word of God today. Just before we do, if you would like to visit our website, just type in THCOG. It will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida. And you're welcome to download any of those materials or listen online to any of those materials that you feel that might be a blessing to you. And it's all free of charge. There are no strings attached. We have been graciously blessed to be able reach out from our ministry here in Tampa to you right where you are. We do not believe in accidents or happenstance. We believe in divine direction, and we claimed a scripture when we went on the air on this radio station, and it's Psalm 107 and verse 20, and it says simply, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. So we're part of that great process. The way that God saves is by the preaching of the cross, and He sends the Word of God. He sends those who carry His Word. And so I'm going to be so bold and to believe that God has sent us to you today, that we are together today around the Word of God by divine appointment for your help and your deliverance and your needs to be met today by a gracious, loving Heavenly Father. If you don't know Jesus today, please stay tuned to this broadcast. If you think that you can't ever be a Christian and live the Christian life, you stay tuned a little while today and listen to what God proclaims to you through His eternal Word. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 on the subject of the message of the cross, which brings us an understanding of Christ's great triumph and Satan's great defeat. It all happened at a hill called Golgotha, at a place called Calvary. And I want you to know today that this cross, this seemingly symbol of man's hopeless, helpless defeat, became the greatest symbol of victory to the Christian faith that the world has ever known. That's why the cross is the single greatest symbol to signify all that the Christian faith represents, because every blessing and every benefit that God has granted fallen man is a result of what Jesus did as He hung on that cross. You know, the Bible said if the princes of this world, and I'm not talking about the political forces or military forces, but I'm talking about those powers and principalities in the darkened world of Satan's influence, these fallen angels and fallen princes of darkness, if they had known, if the princes of this world had known, the scripture declares they would have never crucified the Son of Glory. They would have never put Jesus on that cross. If they knew God's plan to defeat them and disarm them, praise God, concerning those who would trust Christ, they would have never allowed Jesus. Those ones that wanted Him dead would have never allowed Him to go to the cross. They would have never wanted one drop of His sinless, innocent blood to be shed, because they would be sealing their own doom. Amen. But they didn't know, and we didn't know either. The disciple didn't know. His mother didn't know. Those closest to him in the inner circle did not know what was happening on that cross until after the resurrection. Then they understood that the symbol of defeat, the greatest defeat, the most helpless, hopeless situation a man can be in, is to be impaled on that Roman cross, dying and suffering and being tortured to death. But I'm telling you right now, amen, it became the death of Jesus on that cross became the symbol of the greatest victory the universe has ever known. Praise God. Well, I'm going to read the scripture about that in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. It said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I love it from the Amplified. It said, "For the story and message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition. But unto us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God." Hallelujah. The cross of Christ, I want to say once again, is not just the declaration of Christian victory. It is the declaration of Satan's defeat, his utter defeat. That's why all hell opposes the preaching of the cross. Amen. Listen, I want to talk to you today about the fact that when Christ died on the cross, that all of Satan's minions, all the demons that followed him in rebellion, all of those fallen angels, they are absolutely disarmed. They have lost their influence and their ability to harm those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. For Colossians 2:15 declares, listen carefully, "Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Friend, today to disarm someone means to take from them the means by which they might hurt you. If a man has a gun pointed at you, he's not disarmed until you take the gun away from him. As long as he had the gun and sufficient ammunition, you're in big trouble. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took the guns and ammo out of the hands of the demons and the devil himself. He publicly humiliated them. They knew what that was all about, to disarm and make a public spectacle in the time when Rome had occupied the Holy Land. Picture the Roman legions returning from a successful war. As they enter the city, vast throngs of women and children line the streets. On and on they march, a seemingly endless parade. Then come the victorious generals, each one accompanied by singers, dancers, and musicians. Finally, at the end of the procession, you spot a long line of weary, dirty, emaciated men. Their hands are tied. They shuffle one after another. They are the defeated soldiers now brought back to be displayed as proof of Rome's invincible power. See, when Jesus died on the cross, when he cried, "Tetelestai," one word that's interpreted, "it is finished" or "it is accomplished." Something stupendous happened in the spirit realm. Although it was invisible to the naked eye, it was seen by all the angels. All the Old Testament saints, they watched as Jesus, like some conquering Old West hero, entered the infernal regions and disarmed the demons one by one. He marched them in full view of his heavenly Father so that every created being would know that he had won the victory through his death on the cross. Oh, friend, make no mistake about it. If the princes of this world had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. This means that although demons have great power, they've been disarmed and cannot harm us unless we give place to the devil and thereby rearm them with our sinful compromises. Though they attack us, if we will use the shield of faith provided for us, every fiery dart will be quenched. Some Christians live in unnecessary fear of the demonic realm because they have never understood the victory that Christ has won in our behalf on the cross. On the other hand, some believers suffer oppression because they nurse wrong attitudes and dabble with evil. That's like giving the devil a loaded gun and saying, "Why don't you go ahead and shoot me?" He'll always be glad to pull the trigger. Today we want to declare the victory that Jesus has granted to us through His shed blood on that old rugged cross, and declare unto you today, friend, that you can, if you're imprisoned by the enemy, that you can walk out of that prison cell today. If you're a Christian and you still have habits that you haven't conquered, you can win the battle over them by pleading the blood of Jesus Christ today. Praise God. Today can be your emancipation day. Today can be the day of your deliverance. Praise God. Today can be the day when we can demonstrate a victory that is already won by Jesus Christ. We can plead the blood of Jesus Christ today. I love Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. It says, "And we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel." 1 John 5:8 says, "And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one." For friend, today the blood testifies that Jesus set us free from all the curse and made us able to partake of the inheritance of the saints. The blood testifies that Jesus bought our redemption from the devil and set us free. God worked when the blood of Abel cried unto Him. How much more mightily will He work when it is the blood of His own Son that cries unto Him? By speaking words of faith, we agree with what the blood says concerning our total and absolute redemption and freedom from the curse. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pleading the blood of Jesus is not begging. It is a legal term that we proclaim. See, according to Revelation 12:10-11, the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto the death. That's why the scripture said, "Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. Praise God. Profession, there is confession, and it means to say the same thing as another. God has spoken concerning the blood of Jesus. God has spoken a word of forgiveness, a word of deliverance, a word of promise unto us that He would never leave us, never forsake us. Hallelujah. And we need to declare that with our mouth, to confess that. Hold fast your profession of faith. Hold it fast, praise God, without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. That's called the word of our testimony, and it's us proclaiming what He has declared concerning the blood of Jesus and what it has accomplished for you and me at the cross. The devil is our accuser. The only successful plea is the blood of Jesus. We can't plea that we are totally innocent. We can't say that we have absolutely sinlessness. We can say that our sins have been forgiven and our sins are being forgiven as we confess them. You know, 1 John said, if we say as Christians we have absolutely no sin, then we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. Faithful and just. He doesn't violate His holiness or His demand for justice, because He's forgiving us on the basis of what Jesus accomplished through His shed blood and His suffering at the cross. When we plead the blood of Jesus, we plead all of the blessings and benefits, all of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. When He said, "It is finished, it is accomplished, tetelestai," He sealed it. It's done. Nothing need be added. Our victory is won at the cross. We're not just going out to defeat the devil. We're going out to declare a victory that is already ours. Praise God. And there's such victory in Jesus. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and iniquity if we confess before Him. Amen. However the enemy comes, however he comes, he can be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have victory over every evil because of Jesus' shed blood. Only relying on the shed blood of Jesus, our substitute sacrifice, the Lamb of God, will we win our case before God and the judge. We plead the blood of Jesus, and there is great victory granted. Our lives must be fully committed to God when we trust Him with all of our heart. We must have faith in what God has done and what He is doing. You know, the Bible said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we walk in the truth of God's Word with a sincere heart, then the blood of Jesus has a continual effect in our life. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all iniquity. There is a continual application of the blood of Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Colossians 1:13-14 declares, "He hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His love and the kingdom of His Son," in the King James. Listen, "in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." And friend, today, if you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus, if you've come to know Christ as your Savior, you need to speak up. You need to say so. Hallelujah. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. I like Psalm 107 in verse 2. It said, "Let the redeemed, let the ransomed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We must say that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we must be bold enough to speak it out, praise God. Speak it where God can hear that you claim the merits of the shed blood. Speak it forth that the devil may know that you know who you are in Christ and who He is in you. He cannot refute what the blood has done in your behalf at the cross. In the name of Jesus, we should say, "I plead the blood of Jesus for my healing. I apply the blood of Jesus to this sickness. I sprinkle the blood of Jesus on me. I resist you, evil, with the blood of the Lamb. I draw a bloodline around this place that the devil cannot cross. I draw a bloodline of protection around my property and possessions. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ against this problem. I cover my home with the blood of Jesus to protect all occupants and possessions from all evil. I apply the blood of Jesus to this problem and bind its power to remain." Friend, there's power in Jesus' blood and there's power in Jesus' name to set everything right. Satan, Jesus' blood now works to remove every evil work, every evil intended end that you're seeking from me is broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. I hold the blood of Jesus against Satan. I declare on God's word that it overcomes him and he has to flee. And I'll continue to believe and repeat what I've said every time until every trace of this trouble is gone. Praise God. Let us use all our weapons, the name of Jesus, the Word of God, and the blood of the Lamb. We should sing about the blood, talk about the blood, rejoice in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let the redeemed say so. Let us show forth His death and declare publicly before angels and devils, before God and men, that I am blood bought and blood cleansed and blood kept through Jesus Christ. in His name and His strength, I will take my stand. Listen, if you're saved today, you should boldly proclaim, I am saved. You know, the Scripture said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's something about speaking it out. Hebrews 13:5 said, He hath said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Isn't that amazing? God made a promise. And when we boldly proclaim that we believe that promise and confess it, that's called the word of our testimony. And when we declare before God that we believe His declaration, and we declare before devils and demons that we believe what God has said is true, and we confess it with our mouth, I don't understand all of the mechanisms that are brought into play here, because this involves the spirit realm and powers in the spirit realm, but I know that they are disarmed when the blood of Jesus is applied to a situation, a circumstance, a person. Amen. When that happens, it disarms powers and principalities. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It makes me want to shout it from the housetops. I am a blood-bought child of the living God, and I plead the finished work of Jesus on the cross. I plead the blood of Jesus in my behalf over this circumstance. Praise God. I boldly confess that I have put my trust in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, my Sovereign, and my soon coming King. I boldly proclaim that my sins are forgiven. I have acceptance with God. I have been reconciled. I am now a son of God and an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And I now plead the merits of Christ's shed blood in my behalf. Praise God. It's called holding fast your confession of faith without wavering. For He is faithful. That promise, God promised when He sees the blood, He will pass over us. And He kept His promise to ancient Israel, and He will keep His promise to the church in the 21st century and to any man, woman, boy, or girl who has come to Christ for salvation, repented of our sin, been washed in His blood, and we now stand in our standing as the sons and daughters of Almighty God, and we plead the merits of the blood of Jesus, and we declare Christ's victory at Calvary was our victory as well. Praise God. Listen, if you're not a Christian, you're listening today and you feel like that you could never be free from all of your habits and hang-ups. In fact, you still love your sin, even though you know it's wrong and it has the potential to destroy your home, your family, your body, and yes, even your eternal soul. Friend of mine, I want you to know you can be free today. You can have a change in your heart. Hallelujah. God can change you from the inside out. And He wants you to come to Him just like you are. And He wants the work, the finished work of Jesus on the cross, the blood of Jesus to be applied to your life today. And I want you to know there's power in the blood. We used to sing that camp meeting hymn until we wanted to shout and run and holler, amen, and shout the victory from the housetops. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you, or evil, a victory win? There's power in the blood of Jesus. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood of Jesus. Would you live daily His praises to show? There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of the old hymns have so much powerful, victorious theology in them. They were not little pop tunes that are more beat-driven than communicating great theological truth. Praise God. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I'm looking back down through time to where God saved me. Praise God, and washed me in the blood. And ever since then, I was saved when I was 12 years old. And my mom and dad divorced, and I got bitter because it hurt me so bad. And they seemed to be thinking about themselves. And I remember getting bitter and rebellious until I was 21 years old. And God drew me back to Him, and I made a full-blown, mature commitment to Jesus Christ. And I remember the power of God that came upon me and came within me and began to change me from the inside out. And I want you to know that power did not go unchallenged by the devil. And persecution came. Temptations came. I used to say, before I was saved, I went out looking for sin. But now that I've come to Christ, sin comes looking for me. Honestly, there was more opportunities given me to compromise and sin after I became a Christian than when I was in the world. But I want you to know, when I claimed the finished work of Jesus, when I confessed, amen, and proclaimed what He has done for me at Calvary, every one of those attempts of the enemy was broken. There is power in the blood of Jesus, and there's power when released when the Christian proclaims that blood. Amen. And we declare the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm still pleading the blood of Jesus over my family, over my circumstances, over the church that I pastor, over the pulpit that I stand in, over this body that my soul abides in. Praise God. Hallelujah. And victory after victory after victory is being accomplished. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. If you're a Christian today, say so. Declare that I am washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I plead the merits of that blood over every circumstance, everything that tries to defeat me, defraud me from my privileges and rights as a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And if you're not a Christian today, I want to come back to you for just a few moments in closing and say unto you that the price for your redemption and deliverance has been paid in full at Calvary. Jesus cried, "It is finished. It is accomplished." You can be saved and set free today because of that shed blood. That suffering man on that cross has satisfied God's demands for justice. So that when you call upon the Lord, He can save you, not compromising His holiness. He can save you, not compromising His justice, not by looking over your sin, but because your sin has been judged in His only begotten Son, so that you can go free. If you're an alcoholic, God can set you free, save you first, and then set you free. He wants you to come with your hang-up, come with your habit, come with your problem. If you're a drug addict today, plead the blood of Jesus. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus right now over you, that the blood of Jesus will have its finished work effect upon your life when you call upon the name of the Lord. And not only will you be saved, but you will be set free by the power of God. You can come out of that prison. Well, we love you today. Our time is gone. Pray that prayer right now. Repent of your sin. Call upon the name of Jesus and thereby apply the blood of Christ to your life. We love you. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.
Many there be that rise up against me. of my soul. They say there is no help for you in God, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hills. I laid me down and slept, but when I awake up, I knew the Lord, he has sustained me.